Okay, I only signed up for the first night, but I hope everyone else is here for the duration of the 7 years. But it was very nice on Friday when Rabbi Finkelstein called me and asked if I could help to launch this awesome effort, this amazing project. And I was asked not only to learn the first Amud together tonight, but to use perhaps as some introductory words to help us get excited about this project, to understand a little bit who the Chafetz Chaim was and how the Mishneh Berurah came about. I'm sure a lot of people recently saw that video that was going around of the Chafetz Chaim. And for many people, that was like the most earth-shattering thing, this Chafetz Chaim, who we've all heard of and spoken about and know about. But to see him, to catch a glimpse, even though it was only a couple of seconds on the footage, but to see from 1923 by the Knesset Gedola, the Chafetz Chaim walking in Vienna with his Talmidim, people trying to block the camera, to catch a glimpse of the Chafetz Chaim is an amazing thing. Rav Simcha Zisel of Kelm, the altar of Kelm, had one son. His name was Rav Nachum Zev, Rav Velvel. And he said that for himself, and this was a person who came from very great stock, he said, I never saw a Torah true Jew until I saw the Chafetz Chaim. I couldn't picture what a real Torah Dika Jew looks like. He says, until I came face to face with the Chafetz Chaim. He said, when I saw the Chafetz Chaim, I understood what a Torah Jew looks like. So Baruch Hashem, we had this chus recently. Many of us had this chus. We saw a glimpse of the Chafetz Chaim. But what I want to just, before we even, you know, have the audacity to open up the great work of the Chafetz Chaim, to understand a little bit who he was. Because we saw a couple seconds of footage of the Chafetz Chaim. Have we really seen the Chafetz Chaim? What does it take to see a tzaddik, to really see the Chafetz Chaim? There's a volume called Uvdos van Hagos Lebeis Brisk. And in the second volume, it describes Rav Baruch Ber, the great Rav Baruch Ber of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber of Leibowitz, once traveled to a distant Polish town, where he heard there was some old Jew who had seen Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he wanted to meet someone who had seen Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rav Baruch Ber and his Talmud Rav Shlomo Hyman set out, and they traveled this great distance, and they tracked down this fellow, and with great trepidation, mama shaking, they said, is it true that you were a person who once saw the great Hagon Rabbi Akiva Eger? So the fellow said, oh, you mean the rabbi of Posen? And they could tell, by the way, that this person had responded to their inquiry about having seen Rabbi Akiva Eger. They said, Rabbi Baruch Ber said, this person never really saw Rabbi Akiva Eger. He may have seen him physically with his eyes. He said, but Rabbi Shlomo, let's leave. This person never really saw Rabbi Akiva Eger. So again, we have to understand, what does it mean to see the Chafetz Chaim? Mirtz Hashem, over the next 7 years, we'll get to see the Chafetz Chaim a little bit. Right, but what does it mean to see the Chafetz Chaim? So I want to just share something that I found in the Sefer Darash Mordechai Druk, and Parshas Truma. Very beautiful insight. And again, this is all just a springboard, so we understand what we're about to engage. There's a Gemara, a famous Gemara, in Maseches Yoma. The Gemara says on the pasuk by the Aron, "V'tzipiso so zahav tahor mi bayis umichut tzitzapenu." The Aron was coated with gold inside and out. The Aron was in fact made up of three boxes. There was a gold box, there was a wood box, and there was a gold box. So the Gemara in Yoma says, just like the Aron has gold on the inside and the outside, says Rava, "Kol tamid chacham she'ein tocho kabaro." So too a Talmud Chacham who's not golden on the inside and on the outside is not a real Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has to be golden, right, inside and out. Tocho Kabaro. So Rav Druk says, why does it say Tocho Kabaro, that his inside should reflect his outside? Why doesn't it say that his outside should reflect his inside? Why doesn't it say the reverse? Why doesn't it say Baro Ketocho? So he says, it could never say Baro Ketocho. To say that the Tzaddik, that a Talmud Chacham, should wear on his sleeve externally what's truly going on inside of him, we would never ask of a tzaddik, and a tzaddik would never agree to do such a thing. We ask that the reverse should be true, that toho kabaro, that perhaps his outside should be somewhat a reflection of his inside. But to say that the tzaddik should express his true inner essence, that he should wear it in a way for all to see, that's not the nature of tzaddikim. And that's not the nature of true talmidei chachamim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, whose yahrzeit, his 20th yahrzeit, just passed. So Shlomo Zalman used to always say, people talk about the 36 hidden tzaddikim. Chazal talk about these 36 hidden tzaddikim that keep the world going. The Lamed Vavnik, 36, Tzaddikim the Star. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to say, people think, right, and maybe so, you know, you read enough of Shlomo Karbach stories, you think the 36 Tzaddikim, right, is some schlepper, some water carrier, some wood chopper in the forest, right, and that might also be true. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to always say, it could be that the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim are in fact the Gedolei Ador. So what makes them secret tzaddikim? What makes them hidden tzaddikim? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he says, do you think we really know who the Gedolim are? Do you think what we see about them is who they truly are? We don't see who they really are. It's not baro ketocho. We're not seeing their true inner essence. So this was what the Gemara is suggesting, that a tzaddik has to, again, reflect a little bit of who he is to the outside, but the full picture of who he is, we'll never know. So he tells a story here in the Darash Mordechai. He says that the Panovich Rav was once with the Brisker Rav. And he asked him, he said, everyone knows that the Chafetz Chaim was a big tzaddik. Everyone knows that about the Chafetz Chaim. What people don't appreciate, or fully appreciate, is the fact that the Chafetz Chaim was also a major lamdin. He was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And sometimes his tzidkus overshadowed his brilliance in Torah, in Gemara, in Halacha. So he says, why is that so? This is what the Panovich Yerav asked the Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav said to him, because the Chafetz Chaim dove into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that people shouldn't recognize who he is in his learning. That's what the Brisker Rav responded. So the Panovich Yerav said, but I don't understand. So why didn't the Chafetz Chaim daven that his tzidkus should also be concealed? How is it that we do know the tzidkus of the Chafetz Chaim, even though we don't yet fully recognize the great lumdus of the Chafetz Chaim, the halachic brilliance of the Chafetz Chaim? And this question bothered the Panovich Yerav. So he said at one point he met up with the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. And he saw the Ger Rebbe was learning the Mishnah Berurah. And he saw that the way the Beis Yisrael was learning the Mishnah Berurah, he could ask him this question. So the Panovich Yerav said to the Beis Yisrael, the Rav Druk brings, on page 247, Darash Mordechai Parshas Truma. So he says to him, so how is it that the Chafetz Chaim was able to hide his brilliance, but he wasn't able to hide his tzidkus? So the Beis Yisrael said, you know why the Chafetz Chaim wasn't able to hide his tzidkus? Because the Chafetz Chaim didn't consider himself to be a tzaddik. The Chafetz Chaim knew he had a brilliant mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with. That was part of his reality. So he dove into HaKadosh Baruch Hu that people shouldn't recognize that. And his tefillah was answered. But it never dawned upon the Chafetz Chaim that in fact he was a tzaddik. So he never davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should in fact cover it up. That's what the Beis Yisrael told the Panovich Yerav. But Rav Druk says, I don't think that's the pshat. Rav Druk writes on the next page, he says, I'll tell you what I think the real pshat is. He says, of course the Chafetz Chaim knew he was a tzaddik. And the Chafetz Chaim davened that people shouldn't know that he's a tzaddik. And not only that, the Chafetz Chaim's tefillahs were answered. And the little bit that we think we know about the Chafetz Chaim, right? As much as we think he's such a tzaddik, we don't know anything about the Chafetz Chaim. His tefillah that we shouldn't understand fully who he is was in fact answered. And we don't know the first thing about the Chafetz Chaim. The little drop, he's a ve'emes, nish'aru rov ma'is of behester. Most of what the Chafetz Chaim is, most of who he was, remains entirely hidden from our eyes. Ve'ein ish yodei aleim, v'chol ma'sho anu yodim, the little bit that we think we know, hu ma'at min ma'at. The little glimpse of the Chafetz Chaim that we have. Is even after his feelings were answered to conceal his wisdom, and we still see such an amazing tzaddik. Can imagine who he really was. That's what it means. Again, the secret, the 36 tzaddikim who are mekayim the entire universe. I want to share another interesting point from that same video that many people saw from the Knesset Gedola. Because again, in 1923, as the Chafetz Chaim was traveling from Radin to Vienna, the person who was escorting him, the Imre Emes of Ger, the Ger Rebbe, Svas Emes' son, had assigned the author of the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, to escort the Chafetz Chaim from Radin to Vienna. And it was a long train ride, and there were many, many stops along the way, and people were lining up, everyone was lining up, they wanted to catch a glimpse of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim, in his unbelievable humility, refused to come to the window. He couldn't understand why people would want to see him more than anyone else, which is, again, shows his remarkable anava. Again, this is 1923, on the way to the Knesset Gedola. So I have a volume at home, it's called Sefer Kli Chemda, Michtevei Torah V'Ha'aros. And in there it describes this journey en route to Vienna. So it says that at one point, the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, says to the Chafetz Chaim, it's not right. It's not right for you not to come to the window. People want to see you. And he said to him, Halo kol kach harba Yehudim etzapim leroso. So many Jews have traveled, right, from their little shtetlach to the train tracks. They want to see you for catch a glimpse of the Chafetz Chaim. Ulach lo kavo l'Torah. And it's for the honor of Torah that they're coming. Madua lo yamali es ratzon etzibur. How could you refuse the masses time and time again? So the Chafetz Chaim responded, Kol yamai berachti mezeh. My whole life, I run away from kavod. Achshav akum b'miyuchad. So now I'm going to get up, specifically for my own kavod, and walk over to the window that people should be able to give kavod to me. And he quoted the Sefer Chassidim, that a person who gets kavod in this world takes away from his olam haba. And the Chafetz Chaim says, there's no way I'm willing to do such a thing. So Meir Dan Plotsky responded to the Chafetz Chaim. He says, I'll give you two reasons why you should go over to the window. Reish is, first of all, Choshev ani, shekedai afiu la'abid k'tzat olam haba, kedei ligrom hanov v'simcha l'kol kach harbe Yehudim. It's kedai, the Chafetz Chaim, it's kedai to lose a little olam haba, to make a couple of Yidden happy. So many Jews are coming to see you. V'sheinis, and he was about to give him a second explanation. Achkan hifsiko so Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says, that's enough. It's enough for me, dai, maspik bishvili, maspik hatam arishon. It's enough for me to get out of my seat and to do something which is so against my very nature, simply to give the pleasure of all these Jews who so badly want to see me. So can we say that those Jews who saw the Chafetz Chaim, we saw the Chafetz Chaim in a video, which was already gewaldic. We never saw the Chafetz Chaim in motion. Those Jews saw the mamash, saw the Chafetz Chaim for a couple of seconds. Did those Jews really see the Chafetz Chaim? Can anyone ever truly see the Chafetz Chaim? The Chafetz Chaim didn't want anyone to see it. Even his own Talmud, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, once said, he's a very close Talmud to the Chafetz Chaim. If anyone saw the Chafetz Chaim, it was Rav Elchanan. And Rav Elchanan said, if the Chafetz Chaim used his brilliant mind, his mind that was so much smarter than our minds, to hide from us, so what makes us think that with our puny little minds we're going to be able to discover him? He's hiding with, you know, with his brilliant mind. We're gonna be able to bring the Chafetz Chaim out from his hiding place. Chafetz Chaim was not interested in any kavod. He didn't want us to know about him. He didn't want us to think of him as a tzaddik or a talmid chacham. He saw himself as just a pashut yid. And there are many stories of the Chafetz Chaim himself, you know, on a train meeting someone, and someone struck up a conversation with him, and said, "Oh, where are you from? From Radin? Oh, do you know the Chafetz Chaim? Yeah, it's nothing special." And this person would be mavazel the Chafetz Chaim. How can you say something about the Chafetz Chaim? Trust me, I know him very well. He's really nothing special. And then they'd come to the, you know, come to the landing dock, and the Chafetz Chaim would get off the train, and people would be waiting to greet him. And this person would run over and come apologize, "Rebbe, I didn't realize it was you. It was you all along." Chafetz Chaim says, "Now do you at least see that I'm nothing special? Now are you this mekavel the truth? I'm a simple yid." One of the biographies that we do have from the Chafetz Chaim, there's a three-volume Hebrew work called Chafetz Chaim Chayav U'Po'olo, where Moshe Yosher passed away in the 1970s. He came in 1911. He came to the Chafetz Chaim. He was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim at age 15. He was living in the Chafetz Chaim's house. He was very close with him. And in the 1920s, he started publishing essays about the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. So this Rav Moshe Meir Yosher started writing essays in English and Hebrew and Yiddish about the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim caught word of this. And he begged him, he said, "I'm begging you, please, stop. Stop. I heard you wrote already an essay in English about me. I heard you writing a lengthier one in Hebrew about me. Please stop. I don't want a biography written about me. It's against my very nature." And he begged him, "Please, don't do such a thing to me. It pained the Chafetz Chaim that people should know about it." He said, "People know already too much about me. There's no reason to write a sefer about me." And again, he ended up publishing in the 1950s this massive three-volume work about the Chafetz Chaim, the little bit that we get to know and see from the Chafetz Chaim. But just to show you how much the Chafetz Chaim in fact hid himself, in 1912, a volume came out called the Ohel Eshem. The Ohel Eshem was written by Rabbi Shmuel Noach Gottlieb from Pinsk, and it was essays and biographies about different Gedolim and different Hasidic Rebbes. How did he collect the information? Some of the knowledge he had and from interviewing different people, but he also wrote to different tzaddikim, Talmidei Chachamim, great tzaddikim who he wanted to include in his book. These biographical sketches about the svarim they've written and a little bit about their background. And he wrote to different people and asked them to respond. And many, surprisingly, many rabbis wrote back, you know, "I was born here and I learned under so-and-so and I published this sefer and this essay, b'chulu b'chulu." He said when he wrote to the Chafetz Chaim, and if you actually look in the sefer, we have the sefer, the Ohel Eshem. If you look in the sefer under the entry for the Chafetz Chaim, all it has is his address. That's all it has. The Chafetz Chaim refused to give him any information about himself. He wrote back to him, he actually sent back a letter saying to him, basically, "It's totally against my will to share anything about myself, and I hope you'll forgive me." And this author, he published, since he had nothing else to write about the Chafetz Chaim, he wrote his address, and then he put this letter showing the humility of the Chafetz Chaim that he refused to offer any further information about himself. So that was the degree which the Chafetz Chaim tried to hide himself. But at the end of the day, of course, the Chafetz Chaim can't hide from us. Why? Because every single day, Klal Yisrael are still being educated by the Chafetz Chaim. You open up a Mishnah Berurah, right? And think about how many thousands of Jews around the world are opening up the Mishnah Berurah on a daily basis. Again, we still don't know who the Chafetz Chaim is. If Aaron of Koydenov said, he said that the author himself, he said, "I knew the author. The author is much greater than his svarim." But if you learn the svarim, if you open up the svarim of the Chafetz Chaim, and you see the brilliant work that the Mishnah Berurah is, it's impossible not to get a glimpse of who the Chafetz Chaim really was. The unbelievable brilliance and clarity that he had in halacha. And again, he disguised it all in that garb of simplicity. I think probably one of the most chilling stories I ever read about the Chafetz Chaim is that there was a Rav from Chutz Lartz who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was meeting with the Chazon Ish. This Rav was a very brilliant individual, and he held himself to be a very brilliant individual. And he was meeting with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish had the utmost respect for the Chafetz Chaim. The Chazon Ish does not quote many Achronim throughout his writings. The Chafetz Chaim is one of the few exceptions to that rule. And he held the Chafetz Chaim to be the final authority when it came to halacha. There's letters in the Igros Chazon Ish. I tried to grab it. We're missing volume 2 on the shelf over here. In the second volume, in the 41st letter, he writes that the Chafetz Chaim is, whatever he says, it's Keilu, it came out of the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chafetz Chaim's word is golden. So in 1946, this Rav from Chutz Lartz comes to Eretz Yisrael. He's meeting with the Chazon Ish, and they're talking in halacha. And the Chazon Ish cites an opinion from the Mishnah Berurah, from the Chafetz Chaim. And this Rav, who again was a person who held himself in very high regard, says to the Chazon Ish, is the Chofetz Chaim really an authority in halacha? Can we rely on the Chofetz Chaim? I heard he was a simple Baal Abbas in Radin. Is he really an authentic halachic authority? And the Chazon Ish got so upset, and he turned to this Rav immediately and he said to him, you're absolutely right. The Chofetz Chaim was a Baal Abbas. He was a simple Baal Abbas. You know who he was the Baal Abbas of? He was the Baal Abbas of Kol HaTorah Kula. He was the head of the house, and he knew every chamber of the house. He knew the ins and outs of every room of the house. He knew Shabbos, he knew Kashrus, he knew Tefillah, he knew Tefillin. He knew every inch of the house. And he went on to describe how the Chofetz Chaim was the ultimate Baal Abayis, if you want to call him that. And this Rav, needless to say, retracted very quickly his position and his attitude towards the Chofetz Chaim. The sefer that we're about to start together, the Mishnah Brura, was something that the Chofetz Chaim didn't really want to write. In the end, he did. He felt an obligation to do so. But it was something that he felt needed to be written. He himself did not want to write it. The Chofetz Chaim, actually, he wrote a small piece of the Mishnah Berurah, what would eventually become the Mishnah Berurah, and he sent it to certain great Rabbanim, some renowned Gaonim and Tzaddikim in Lithuania. One such individual was Rav Chaim Leib of Stavisk, who was apparently a great Lithuanian Gaon. I don't know too much about him. He sent it also to someone else, the biographies bring. It doesn't say exactly who, but Chofetz Chaim sent it around to a few people, and it seems that everyone responded to the Chofetz Chaim. They saw a couple pages that he had put together of this idea for this book to take all the different opinions in Halacha and to clarify it in a very concise and clear way. Everyone wrote back to the Chofetz Chaim, many people echoing the Gemara, Bav Metzia Pei Gimel, where it says that the person who reads the letter should be the one to implement this message. Meaning you're the one who recognizes the need for this Sefer, and you already have such a magnificent ability to write it, so write the whole thing. Why not write the whole thing? And the Chofetz Chaim was mevatel himself to these great gedolim, and decided in fact to write the Mishnah Berurah with tremendous trepidation. A Rav once said to him, Rav Nachum Nachumovsky, once said to the Chofetz Chaim, why don't you call the Sefer Halacha Berurah, and the lengthier commentary call it Bir Mishnah? Why did you call it Mishnah Brura and Bir Halacha? So the Chofetz Chaim in his humility said, to call it Halacha Brura, to call it clear Halacha, he says, I'm too scared to do that. The best I can do is Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura, we'll talk about some ideas together. But again, all of the Gedolim saw the Chofetz Chaim as, in many ways, the final say in Halacha. And the amount of effort that went into the Sefer, that again, that we're about to start together, is unbelievable. People said to the Chofetz Chaim, why don't you write on the other sections of Shulchan Aruch? Why don't we have a Mishnah Berurah and Yerodeya and Eben Ezer and Choshen Mishpat? So the Chofetz Chaim said, if you give me another 30 years, then maybe I could take on, you know, another little piece of this work. But the amount of time and energy and effort that the Chofetz Chaim put into the Sefer, it's an unbelievable task. Now, it's important to realize he didn't write it alone. There were individuals, particularly family members, his son Reb Leib, his son-in-law, of Tzvi Hirsch Levinson, who he was very, very close with, helped him to write it. And very often he would try to give the credit to others. But essentially, the Chofetz Chaim was the one responsible for this awesome project. And he didn't care if people recognized how much time and effort went into this project. When his son Rav Leib one time said to him, he said to his father, the Chofetz Chaim, he said, are even scholarly people going to appreciate how much time we spent on every single line of the Mishnah Berurah? Learning from Shas to Rishonim to Poskim until we came to our conclusions. Are people going to appreciate it? The Chofetz Chaim said, what difference does it make? We're writing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What difference does it make if people recognize? And he gave a mashal to his son, Reb Leib, when he was fatigued and he says, you know, this project is too much. He would be mechazik him with the following mashal. He said, imagine you go down to where the train tracks are and you see workers laying these, you know, massive beams of track inch by inch, and someone comes and they say to you, what are you doing? You know, all this time and effort and money. You're spending, you know, people spent their whole lives building these great railroads. Right? But the Chofetz Chaim said, a person who was wise, was involved in the project, and understood the nature of the project, said, it's true, it's inch by inch, but when the project is completed, think about how swiftly and how smoothly a train's going to be able to cross miles. Right? With the greatest of ease. The Chofetz Chaim said, it's a lot of work. It's an enachanami. It's a lot of work to put together the Mishnah Berurah. But when it's done, we're going to have a smooth path for Jews who want to be halachic Jews, who want to follow the Shulchan Aruch. And again, it was with tremendous humility and tremendous effort and tremendous sensitivity that the Chofetz Chaim was able to write the Mishnah Berurah. I'll just give one example of a sensitivity, and then we'll actually open the Sefer and begin together. But people often say that the Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. And there is a certain truth to that. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, tends to be more lenient. Very often, Poskim will say that the Aruch HaShulchan reflected a broader reality of traditional Jewish practice. And the Chafetz Chaim was taking many, many different opinions, and very often he had perhaps an atiyah to be machmir. But it doesn't mean that the Chafetz Chaim wasn't sensitive, that the Sefer should reflect the reality for the common man. I'll just give you one example. For example, in Siman Reish Ayin Beis, right, the laws of Kiddush. The Chafetz Chaim paskins when it comes to what's considered wine, halachically acceptable wine for Kiddush. The Chafetz Chaim has a fairly lenient opinion of how diluted something could be and still be worthy of Brei Pri HaGafen and still be acceptable for Kiddush, for Avdallah. So that Rav Chaim Leib of Stavis, who he had asked to write the Mishnah Berurah originally, was very upset with this psak. He thought it was much too lenient. And he argued on the Chafetz Chaim. In his writings, in the Pnei Aryeh HaChai, in Simen Lamed Ches, he said, he argued openly on the Chafetz Chaim. He spoke to the Chafetz Chaim about this. He was very upset that he felt that this is not Brei Pri HaGafen, this is not Kiddush, this is not in accordance with Halacha. And the Chafetz Chaim defended his position. He said to him, he said to Rav Chaim Leib, he said, "Do you think that the average Jew is the rabbi of Stavis who makes 25 ruble a week? Meaning, do you think the average Jew could afford anything more than that? I have to write the Mishnah Berurah in a way that Jews who could barely afford any wine will be able to buy one bottle the whole year and dilute it down enough that it's still called, you know, wine, it's still Brei Pri HaGafen." But the Chafetz Chaim was sensitive to the needs of the masses. So while personally the Chafetz Chaim maybe had an atiyah to be machmir, for himself he would have followed probably the most strict opinion. But throughout the Mishnah Berurah there was a deep sensitivity to try to write a sefer that again was written for Klal Yisrael, and as you know, since its time has been accepted as really the final authority in halacha. And that's why Rav Chaim Ozer used to refer to the Chafetz Chaim as a living Shulchan Aruch. He was mamish, a true halachic man, the Chafetz Chaim, in every sense of the word. He wrote very unique halachic works, Avas Chesed, Sefer Chafetz Chaim, on the laws of Lashon Hara. Okay, let's open the Sefer together. Let's open to the Akdama. I'm not going to read the whole Akdama inside, obviously it's very lengthy. But I want to read just a little bit of the Akdama. Since we don't all have the exact same edition of the Mishnah Berurah, I hope we'll be able to find each other. For those who have the edition with the kudos, which also doesn't have pages, so that's not so helpful. Look for the paragraph that begins about halfway through the Akdama. There's a paragraph, at least in mine, I hope it aligns with yours. It'll be easier once we start the Siman Aleph. But look for the paragraph that begins with the word Vihine. Chafetz Chaim begins with a general Akdama, that man was created in order to study Torah, and the Torah and mitzvot that we do create a garment for our soul, and Torah is the food of the soul, the same way that the body needs food, the neshama needs food. And then about halfway through, the Chafetz Chaim writes as follows, Vihine, Af shelimad Torah, hu shekol ma she'adam lomed. Certainly, anything that a person learns in Torah is considered Torah, even if it's not applicable in his times. Afilu b'kodshim uvetaros. Even if he's learning things that only apply, let's say, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, or in Eretz Yisrael, or in particular environments. And the Chafetz Chaim was a big believer. He opened a kol al kodshim. He wrote a sefer Torah Or, a little kuntris, all about the chashivas of learning kodshim. He encouraged people who are kohanim to know the avoda inside out, so that they could live it practically when the Beis HaMikdash would be built, which he believes would be any moment. But at the same time, says the Chafetz Chaim, first and foremost, we need to know how to live our daily lives. We need to know chelak or achayim. So certainly, when a person learns any area of Torah, who mekayim mitzvah saseh de talmud Torah, mikol makom ikur limad ha'adam tzarech liyos belimad ha'mevi lidei ma'isa. But the main thing that a person needs to focus on is learning and studying those areas of Torah that leads to practical doing, to study Torah in order to be mekayim the Torah. The Chafetz Chaim actually was a little bit controversial in this regard, in the sense that in his yeshiva, he would sometimes institute study in sections of Gemara that were not commonly studied in yeshivas. Meaning, while the classic Gemaras of Nashim and Ezekiel that were studied in the yeshivas, the Chafetz Chaim sometimes went against the grain and said, we need to study Chulin. Why? Because the people in this yeshiva need to go out and teach Jews how to keep kosher. So we need to study halacha l'maaseh, we need to study chulin, we need to study kashrus. Right? We can't just study theoretical things, we need to study in a way, l'mod amanas lasos. V'alkein amru chazal, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, Oev Hashem she'ar etzion mikol mishkenos Yaakov, Oev Hashem she'arim mevitsuyanim b'halacha, yoser mebate knesios v'bate medrashos v'bate Yaakov. The thing that Hashem loves more than anything else is in fact what? The study of halacha. V'ayin b'yaradeya b'shach, look at the Shach's commentary in Yaradeya. He brings b'shem aprisha. Ditzar chol adam lilmor halachos b'chol yom kedei she'alimud yevienu lidei ma'isa. A Jew has to constantly be studying halacha. A ben olam haba is a person who studies halacha every single day. Vayidei limud halachos muftach adam lidei chay olam haba. Ach she'izar lilmod b'chol yom. That's what the Gemara demands of us. If you want to be a guaranteed ben olam haba, you need to be a person who studies halacha every single day. Tana debe al yo, kol hashona halachos b'chol yom, v'chulu. Then muftach, then you're guaranteed a portion in the world to come. And he quotes a medrash Shochar Tov, Bar Kapara Omer, Lamad Adam Trei Halachos B'Tzafra U'Trei B'Ramsha. That's what this chabur is about. You get together either in the morning or at the night. You learn a couple halachos, a page of Mishnah Berurah. You don't have to conquer so much at once, a little bit at a time. Kiyim bezeh uvitoraso yega yom v'layla. Two halachos in the morning, two halachos at night, and a person's mekayim in this way of agisa bo yom v'layla, studying Torah day in and day out. Vinei lefize nir baldil. So therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says, if you're wondering why did I choose to write on the first section of Shulchan Aruch, it's obvious. It should be very obvious to you. Dechelek or achayim hu ayosor muktom lelimud akol. The most important thing is that a Jew has to know how to function. So it's very nice. We feel sometimes, you know, you learn a section of Kunchim, and you feel that it's very lumdish, and it's very abstract and obscure, and it gets the mind thinking. But the Chofetz Chaim says, let's talk first. Do we know how to function as Jews? Do we know how to fulfill our daily requirements to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Do I know how to put on my tefillin? Do I know what I'm supposed to be thinking when I put on my tefillin? Do I know the proper way to put on tzitzis? Do I know what to do if I lost track of where I'm up to in Shemona Esrei? Right, so we need to know the basics before we become great lamdanim, and we need to be halachic Jews. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Chavas Yar. Someone wrote to the Chavas Yar and asked him, give me advice on how a person should learn. What should be the seder alimud of a person? And in that tshuva, it's a fascinating tshuva, the Chavas Yar writes, as part of that tshuva, he says, chelek orach chaim, the most basic section of Shulchan Aruch, daily laws, orach chaim, daily ways, daily laws. He says, it's become so abandoned by so many Jews that it's ki'ilu, it's a meis mitzvah. No one's interested in it. You don't look smart if you're sitting and studying Mishnah Berurah. You look smart if you're sitting with Rav Chaim on the Rambam, Rav Chaim Brisker, and analyzing a piece of Gemara. Chofetz Chaim was very upset about this. He says a person has to know halacha lemaisa, how to function, how to be a halachic Jew. Ki yediyaso hu achreichi b'chol yom miyamav chayiv l'kima Torah. And it's the first step, the most basic thing, and therefore, again, as the Torah tells, Asher Yaseh, a person has to strive to do. And he goes on and he explains how, again, with a few halachos a day, a person can be very successful. And he goes on, he concludes the Hagdama by explaining why he decided to write his Sefer. He says it's been about 130 years since the Be'er Heitiv, which is one of the commentaries on the page. It's interesting. I have a volume at home from the son of the Chofetz Chaim, and in that he asked his father, why do we need to leave the Be'er Heitiv on the page of the Mishnah Berurah? Essentially, the Mishnah Berurah came and replaced it. All the opinions that are covered in the Be'er Heitiv are covered, you know, all the more so in the Mishnah Berurah. And the Chofetz Chaim, again, in his humility, said, did I come to the Shulchan Aruch? Did I come to the set table to chase everyone away from the table? He felt that achrayus to leave those commentaries that had come before him. Dafka left the Be'er Heitiv on the page. But the Chofetz Chaim says, it's been about 130 years since the Be'er Heitiv, since anyone's written an updated work of halacha. There's many, many Shailus and Tshuvos volumes that have emerged. Many other great poskim and their works have emerged onto the scene. And someone needs to, so to speak, update the Shulchan Aruch and its commentaries. And therefore he took upon himself to do this very holy work. Okay, let's begin together now. B'shem Kol Yisrael. On behalf of the Jewish people, we'll begin together the opening halach. Hilchos Hanhagas Adam Baboker. First thing a person needs to know, how do you wake up in the morning? Din Hashkamas Baboker Uvo Tes Se'ifim. Aleph. Yizgaber Ka'ari La'amod Baboker La'avodas Boro. A person should wake up like a lion to serve his Creator each and every morning. Jehu Me'orer Hashachar. Not that the rays of light that come into my window wake me up, but that I'm up to wake up the day. Ke'ilu, the person is up before the day. Now this halacha, as you know, as much as it leads the way in Shulchan Aruch, is one of the hardest halachas in all of Shulchan Aruch. Rav Elia Lopian, there's an amazing story that Rav Shlomo Shadron tells. Shlomo Shadron was responsible for writing much of Rav Elia Lopian's writings that we have. The Lev Eliyahu, he wrote a lengthy Agdama there. He tells a story, he says one time he met Rav Elia, it was after Shachris, and Rav Elia had eaten a little breakfast, and he was heading home to take a little nap. So he saw Rav Elia was like unusually tired. So he said, "Rav Elia, what's the story?" So he said, "The truth is, I normally daven at, let's say, the whatever minyan." He says, "This morning, I woke up at about 4 o'clock. But I thought to myself, the first halach in Shulchan Aruch, Yisgaber Ka'ari Lamud Bavoker, that as soon as a person opens his eyes, there's an expectation he's going to get up. So even though I wasn't planning going to minyan for several hours, I got up mamish very, very early." And Rav Elia Lopian explained, he used to say as follows, he says, imagine, a person gets to the Olam HaEmes after 120 years. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, it's time for your Bechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu goes over to the shelf, he pulls off the Shulchan Aruch, he pulls off the Mishnah Berurah, he sits down, you sit across from Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Your neshama his mom is shaking, and the whole of Amos, Hashem opens up to page one, and Hashem says, okay, let's begin the Bechina. Let's begin the examination and see how you did as a Jew. Yizgaber Ka'ari Lamur Bavoker, did you jump out of bed like a lion in the morning? And very sheepishly you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, no. Right? So Rabbi Lopian said, can you imagine getting out on the first question? Says, you come to the Olam Emes, can you imagine getting out on the first question? I can't say that I'm necessarily going to be able to mekayim every line of the Shulchan Aruch. But can you imagine getting out on the first question? He felt an achrayus to jump. So he said, I got out of bed early. And I dav in shai. He said, now I need to go take a nap because I'm exhausted. But I had to be mekayim is gaber ka'ari. The person needs to be a baal seichel, to come up with a strategy, to acquire this trait of being able to jump out of bed in the morning. Rabbi Zetzel Rebbe in his Chovas HaTalmidim gives very interesting advice to yeshiva bachim who are struggling with this. He says, sleep with your feet up on a chair, and that way when you wake up in the morning, just kick over the chair, and then your feet will be on the ground. And you come up with a whole system to make sure. But a person has to be mekayim this halachi. It's gaber ka'ari lamed b'boker, to wake up the day. Says the Ramah, Hagah, a person at the very least should not delay the amount of time. You shouldn't get up later than the time that the tzibur is davening. You shouldn't miss tefillah b'tzibur. Hagah, furthermore, another comment from the Ramah, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamit, the famous quote from the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, it's a pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamit, Tilim Tazai. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamit, a person should always see himself in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who klal gadol batoro v'malas ha-tzadikim, asher holchim lefnei Elokim. This is the great principle by which all tzadikim who want to walk in the ways of God live by, to see myself constantly in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the way that a person sits, and the way his tenuos, the way that he moves, vasakov, and the things that he's busy with, when he's levado, when he's all alone in his house, right? It's certainly not the same. The way that a person sits when he's by himself in his room, the way that a person acts in the privacy of his own home is certainly different than the way that he acts in front of a great king, right? Or one's boss. Of a person, a buster of a dumb, who a person is, who is intimidated by. The way that a person speaks, the way that he's casual amongst the members of his own household, of Krovov, it's not the same as he talks and acts when he's in the presence of royalty. So says the Ramah, again paraphrasing the words of the Rambam. All the more so when a person internalizes the fact that he's in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is watching him and he's paying attention to everything that he does. Quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah Perachav Gimel, Im yisoser ish b'mistarim. If a person hides himself in seclusion, will I not see him, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person internalizes this in a deep way, miyad yagia elav hayira v'achna b'pachar Hashem yisparach uvashto mimenu tamid. A person who knows that he's in the presence of Hashem will talk differently, and will act differently, and will think differently, because he'll be in awe, and he'll be humbled and embarrassed in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch. That's it? That's where we stop? That's today's Amud? Okay, we'll get to the Mishnah. Okay, can we finish the Sif? No, we can't. Let's finish the Sif. It's only half a line left. Let's finish the Sif. We'll finish the Sif. I'll get to the Mishnah Berurah. I promise, I'll get to the Mishnah Berurah.
Don't be embarrassed.
A person shouldn't be embarrassed in front of other people who make fun of him and say, what's the point? Your Vodas Hashem, what's it worth? Right. Lastly, gamatzneil leches. A person should also walk with great tznius. Uvishachva al mishkavo yedu lefnei miu shochev. Even when he's lying in bed, again in the privacy of his own inner chambers, he should know before who he lies. He's lying in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Umiyad sheher mishnaso. When he wakes up in the morning, yakum bezrizus lavodas bar yisbarach viyazal. Okay, so this is Sif Aleph. Thank you for allowing me to finish the Sif. Okay, so 5 points come out of Sif Aleph. Number one, he's gaber ka'ari, get up like a lion. Number two, be sensitive to tefillah b'tzibur, not just zman tefillah, we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah in a second. Number three, to see ourselves constantly in the presence of Hashem. This is a lot for one sif. Right, halavai, we should spend our whole life thinking about this. I saw in one of the biographies of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim said, V'yadata ayom v'ashevosa elovecha. He says, a lot of people are very good, V'yadata ayom. So we start a chabur, and we read the first line of Shulchan Aruch. Okay, very nice. Then we go weiter with our lives. Right, but to internalize this, Chavetz Chaim said, "Vashivosa lovecha." There's knowing it in the abstract, then there's bringing it to one's heart. He said, most people are not so successful at that. But Chavetz Chaim always looked to the world to try to find ways to internalize ideas in Torah. He said, for example, he said to someone once, he said, just like when you send a telegram, you pay for every word. So too in the Olam Emes. He said, that makes it much more real. We can internalize it. But Chavetz Chaim wrote in his Sefer Shem Olam, a camera was created to teach people to understand the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Ayin Roah, an eye is always watching. in the world today. We can understand that, right? It's unbelievable the way you can communicate with people around the world. So that strengthens our mood and the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. Chafetz Chaim wanted us to internalize these things in a real way. The fourth thing that the Shulchan Aruch told us, Ramah told us, not to be ashamed of those people who make fun of us, if we're Osek and Avodas Hashem. And lastly, the fifth thing is Hatznei Aleches, to always walk with great tznius, even in the privacy of one's own home. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah now. Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Aleph. A person should wake up like a lion, Lavodas Boro. Ki Lakach Nivra Ha'adam. A person was created for Avodas Hashem. That's what we're here to do. Hashem says everything in the world is to honor me, is to give, bring kavod shemayim. And if a person will wake up in the morning, it's a cold winter morning, and he says, how can I get out of bed on such a cold morning? Or Yashienu b'kayetz, or if Yitzhahara says to you in the summer months, how can I get up? It's such a pleasant morning to stay in bed. Don't listen to such a yitzhara. The achshov v'nafsho ilu haya nitzrach lamud l'sharis lefnei melech basar v'dam. Kam haya zari v'zariz lamud v'ashkama l'hachin atzmo l'avadasal. If I was getting up again for an important business meeting or for an interview, right, if I was getting up to meet a king of flesh and blood, certainly I would never listen to such a yitzhara. So again, kol shekein v'kal v'chomer ben b'no shel kal v'chomer lefnei melech malchei amlochem akadosh baruch hu. All the more so, if I'm getting up for Hashem, no yitzhara should convince me otherwise. In the footnotes, in the Maaseh HaMelech footnotes, in the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, on page 46, it says that one time the Chafetz Chaim actually had a debate with his yitzhara one morning. It was overheard by people outside the room. And the Chafetz Chaim said to his yitzhara, Chafetz Chaim was an old man at the time, and he said, yitzhara, you're telling me I'm an old man and I can stay in. I'm the Chafetz Chaim. You did so many things for Klal Yisrael and for Hashem. Take a few minutes for yourself this morning. Stay in bed. And the Chafetz Chaim said back to his yitzhara. He said back to his yitzhara, you got out of bed this morning and you're much older than me. So he said, why should I listen to you? Apparently old people get up in the morning. And the Chafetz Chaim jumped out of bed. That's how a person has to get up in the morning, not to fall for the traps of the Yitzhara. And he quoted the Gemara in Sukkah that says that the Yitzhara is trying to get a person every day. Yitzhara shall aldim is gavrila b'chol yom. And without Hashem's help, you're not going to be able to defeat him. But you have to go in with an attitude that I'm getting up to greet the creator of the world. Sifkatan biz, hashachar. A person should wake up the morning. Not to be woken by the morning, he should wake up the morning. Bishla kasav sod lechaber yom v'layla b'torah o b'tfila, hein b'boker hein b'erev. The goal is to try to bridge the day and the night, both by night and by day, with Torah. So you should be up at the time that the world is transitioning from night to day. Umiyad kishi is or mishnah. So when a person wakes up in the morning, ve'ein arotz alishon, and he's ready to get up, yitol yadav af shenishar mushkav. Ideally, a person should do netilas yadayim while still lying in bed. Set up a bowl, a washing cup next to your bed. You should do netilas yadayim while you're still in bed. Mikol shekein, shelo yelech arba amos b'li netilas yadayim. And ideally, a person should not walk 4 amos until he washes his hands. Vitzarach ma'od lizar b'zeh. A person should be very careful about this. Uvizar kadosh maflik avur zeh ba'unchol ma'od. The Holy Zohar says that a person who's not particular about this, the punishment is very great. Because he's allowing a spirit of tumah, the ruach raw, on his fingertips to remain. But the Chafetz Chaim says, be careful not, you're going to be so particular about netilas yadayim, you'll come to do other averos. Kigon, la'atzur atzmo milahashtin al yadeza. If you wake up and you need to use the bathroom, so we'll see later on in the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Gimel, in Sifyut Zayin, there's a prohibition to hold oneself back from using the restroom if one has to go to the bathroom, based on a Gemara in Makos. So Chafetz Chaim says, if you wake up in the morning and need to use the bathroom, it's more important that you do that first, even though it's going to delay a little bit your netilas yadayim. O likach mayim sheheichin chavera avur atzmo, or to steal someone else's water, so that you can do netilas yadayim right away, is not obviously appropriate. Im lo shebar lo sheyitin takeof tmurasa machem, unless you're going to replace the water bowl right away. Some people are not particular about this. What if the water is far away and you're not able to have it right by your bedside? Some had a practice that they would dafka not walk 4 amos at a time. They'd walk a little bit and stop, and then walk a little bit and stop. The Chafetz Chaim says it's a silly practice. The cost of a Shari Tshuva says about this, Chafetz Chaim records it, Delon here, it doesn't make sense. Better to run to the bathroom, right, where the water is, and remove the tumah from your hands. The adiv yoser shielchu b'merutza. Better to run to the bathroom, to wherever you're going to be washing. Shalo lahashos ruach ra. The ruach ra should remain on his fingertips. Yesh omrim delinian ze amrinan kol abesa kadalat amos dami. This is what a lot of people rely on. Some people say that the whole house, or maybe the whole room, is considered like one Dalet Amos. It's one Rishus, and therefore it's not a violation of this this very intense statement of the Zohar Kadosh if a person doesn't wash, you know, immediately next to his bed. Ideally, we should be sensitive to those opinions that are strict about this. Let's say you wake up and you don't have water, you're not going to have water for a period of time. You don't have enough to wash three times, alternating on each hand to remove the ruach ra. Says the Chafetz Chaim, so don't sit batel for the next couple of hours. El yito ma'at, the little bit of water you have, you should wash your fingertips, even though, again, you have to do alternating to remove the ruach ra. Do a little bit that you can, or you knock a yadav, at least clean your hands with something. B'chol midi demanki, v'yavarich v'yilmod kedin ha-talmud ha-poskim. Not to waste the time waiting around for the water. Better to get up, just clean your hands, that they're not dirty, right? And you'll deal with the ruach ra later. You're able to at least learn at that time period. Okay, so this was number one. Number two, the second thing we learned is that you should be sensitive to the zman that the tzibur is davening. Hainu, says the Chafetz Chaim, Os Gimel, Shatibur mispalin, hainu, afal pishalo yavor zman tfila, bikom milko mitzvah im atzibur. Chafetz Chaim says, don't think that the Ramah is telling you don't miss zman tfila. That's a separate issue. This is saying don't even miss tfila b'tzibur. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, the Kadja Glover in the Eretz Tzvi, in his volume of tshuvas has one as well, where they both suggest that Bezman Hazeh, Tefillah B'Tzibur, is really an absolute chiyuv. The Gemara has a notion in Maseches Brachos that the Tefillah B'Tzibur is never rejected. So unless you're absolutely confident that your Tefillah as a Yachid is going to be answered, you really have an obligation to daven in a way that the Tefillah is going to work. And Rav Moshe, and again the Eretz Tzvi, in his tshuvas developed this. So that's what the Ramah is saying here. Be careful not only to Zman Tefillah, but make sure you daven with the Tzibur. Dalit, Hatzadikim. A tzaddik always feels that he's in the presence of Hashem. The Rizal says a person should write Hashem's name on either a piece of parchment or a piece of paper with the nekudos of the word Yira, the same arrangement. And then the Chafetz Chaim goes on and he says that many people do this, and then these pages fall on the floor and Hashem's name gets erased. These were called shivisis, right? People had little cloths that had Hashem's name on it, but they'd get scattered all over the place. People would step on them, the names would get erased. And the Chafetz Chaim says this is in fact not a great practice. Those who have, let's say, at the front of the shul behind the piece of glass, right, some shape of menorah, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Talmid, and other names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that's okay, he says. But as far as this practice of every person walking around with a little piece of paper with Hashem's name on it, to Rekayim this Arizal, the Chafetz Chaim said that's not the greatest idea. Let's just jump ahead for the moment, because I want to, that's what he describes at the end of Os Dalet. Let's just jump ahead for a moment to Os Hay, not to be ashamed of those people who make fun of a person. Rav Huttner has a letter in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, Kuf Yud Beis, where he says that the main Nisayon at the end of days is going to be the Nisayon of the Maligim. The fact that we're going to be living in a time, he says, the Ramah was very precise in writing the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, is that a Jew should not be ashamed of those who make fun of him. He says it's going to be one of the hardest parts of being a Jew in the days before the coming of Mashiach. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in Sif Katan Hey, don't be ashamed of those people who make fun of you. Mifnei b'nei Adam. V'al kopanim lo yiskotei timam. You shouldn't start up with them. You shouldn't get into fights with them. You shouldn't start up. You shouldn't pick fights. You shouldn't be a brazen person, even in Avodas Hashem. Because if you train yourself to be brazen, unfortunately, if you train yourself in that way, you'll come to use that negative character trait in a place where it's not on behalf of Hashem. But he says, look at my bir halacha. So let's just look at the bir halacha. We have to look at one bir halacha tonight. I've heard once from Rav Avram Shor that if Talmud Chacham tells you to look up a source, so if you look it up, you're mekayim the mitzvah of listening to that Talmud Chacham. So now we're going to mekayim, listen, the Chafetz Chaim just commanded us, look at the bir halacha. So we have to look at the bir halacha. So I'll just read this short bir halacha. Lo yizbayish. The Chafetz Chaim says, Ayin Mishnah Berurah. Okay, I don't think we have to look again in the Mishnah Berurah. I think once is enough. Ayin b'Mishnah Berurah b'shem HaBeis Yosef. Duh. Da Beis Yosef lo ayri kim b'mitzvah shu ose la'atzmo. U'b'nei odam aligim alam. When is it better not to pick a fight? When is it better not to be brazen in defending your practice. That's if you're doing a mitzvah for yourself and someone comes over and starts poking fun at you. So keep your head in the sefer. Continue to learn. Continue to do the mitzvah. Don't be embarrassed of that person who's starting up with you. Don't listen to their mockery. And don't fight with them. But if you're in a position where the Torah itself is being challenged, and if you don't defend it, it's going to be a great Chil Hashem. And now it's a question of gzeira against the Jewish community. And you tried initially, peacefully, to work it out. And you weren't successful. In such a case, that's not what the Beit Yosef had in mind. In such a case, a Jew has to be courageous and even be outspoken. And to show mitzvah lisnosam, there's a mitzvah of a strong lashon to hate these people who are trying to undermine Torah, uliskotei imayim, and to do whatever you can to uproot their evil plot. There was one person the Chafetz Chaim used to say about Yimach Shemo. There was a certain one of the head of the maskilim in Vienna was someone who went by, wasn't his real name, his pen name was Adam HaKohen. And this Adam HaKohen, when he was the Rav Shach, brings this in some of his writings. This Adam HaKohen, when the Chafetz Chaim was a young boy, he was recognized as a very brilliant person. And this maskil tried to lure the Chafetz Chaim away as a young boy, to lure him away from the Beis Medrash. And whenever the Chafetz Chaim would mention this individual's name, he would say Yimach Shemo. It was very uncharacteristic, but he said, "This person almost destroyed me. This person tried to destroy the Chafetz Chaim." So the Chafetz Chaim says, if someone comes to try to undermine Torah entirely, about such a person, we have to be prepared to fight back. Okay, let's just finish up. Let's go to Osvav. We'll do one more Sif Katan in the Mishnah Berurah, and then maybe we'll stop here for tonight. Okay, Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Vav. Hamaligim. V'chein im hu adam beinoni omid b'makom gedol. So again, we shouldn't be ashamed of those people who start up with us. We shouldn't even respond, says the Chafetz Chaim, unless, again, of course, we're defending Torah as an entity. Don't be ashamed of the maligim, says the Chafetz Chaim. V'chein im hu adam beinoni omid b'makom gedol. This is very interesting. Let's say you're not in the presence of people who are mocking Torah, but you're just what you would consider a regular Jew, and you're in the presence of very great Jews, the presence of Gedolim. So what should you do? Lo yizbayish mehem lilmud v'lasos ha-mitzvah. You shouldn't be ashamed to do the mitzvah in front of them. You shouldn't think, I'm at this great convention of great rabbis, and I'm just a lay person. Who am I to even do a mitzvah in front of them? You should never think such a thing. A Jew is always worthy of doing a mitzvah. The Yerushalmi in Bikurim says that when it comes to Jews, there's no such thing as katan and gadol. That all Jews have a right to do a mitzvah, and the Jew should never feel that he's unworthy of a mitzvah because he's in the presence of a seemingly greater Jew in his estimation. Achim efsher lo lasos ha-mitzvah shelo bifneihem. But the Chafetz Chaim says, if you can do it not in front of them, meaning, you're going to be too self-conscious to do it in front of these people. So then Tov Yosef, so maybe better not to do it in front of them. Umiyu, bifnei beinonim sheyildu mimenu. Well, and we'll conclude with this. To do it in the presence of beinonim, of those Jews who are, again, of equal stature, of regular Jews, who will learn from him. Meaning, to dafka do the mitzvah in public in a way that will have an impression upon others. Yesh lomar tov yoser lasos bifnei. Even though we concluded in the Ramah, hatznei alechas, a person should always walk with snias and humility. But at the same time, if I can do a mitzvah openly and have a hashpah on someone else, that's a very good thing. Sheyomudu imenu lasos kamaaseyu, achichavin libo l'shem shemayim, v'lo liyispar chaliva. Don't do it, chas v'sholom, to show off, but do it to inspire others. And the Chafetz Chaim himself once commented on the pasuk in Nitzavim, "Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu, va'aniglos lanu ulavaneinu." And we know that in the Sefer Torah, there's dots over the word ulavaneinu. So they put out a three-volume work, Chafetz Chaim al Torah, an updated edition, a Chadash. And in that third volume, on Parshas Nitzavim, he says, "Why are there dots over vaneinu?" So he says it's like a person who writes a letter wants to highlight, wants to emphasize something. So you put dots on top of it to highlight it. The Chafetz Chaim said, "V'haniglos lanu levaneinu." The most important thing, the things that we do nigla in a revealed sense, is levaneinu, to make sure that our children, more than anyone else, see that we're serious and committed to Torah and mitzvos. And therefore, when we act in a public fashion, performing mitzvos in front of our family, in front of our children, that's one of the most important things of all. So, Rish Hashem, as we begin this project to learn Mishnah Berurah, as we commit ourselves to be more committed to halacha and more sensitive to the ins and outs of every sif katan of the Mishnah Berurah, hopefully it'll have a tremendous hashpah on ourselves and on our families and on the community. And Rish Hashem, the chavura should grow. And in 7 years, I look forward to being mishtatef in the siyam at that time. Okay. Shkoyach.